Welcome to Bad Boy Breakthrough Podcast. Does the idea of meeting the man of your dreams feel impossible to you? We are here to help you. This is your host, Lorna Poole, sharing the secrets of men, love, and relationships so you too can succeed in love. Haven't found the one yet? Looking for some answers? Head over to www.badboybreakthrough.com now and book your complimentary Find Love Today session with me. Your future awaits, so let's get started.
So while living dateless on a wilderness island in Side Passage, Alaska, for years in isolation studying wildlife, no female companionship, Michael wrote his first book, Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, and Kauai Indians. Unknown to himself, Cosmopolitan magazine, the best-selling women's magazine in the world, in 100 countries, translated to 87 languages, chose me as one of their bachelors of the month and eventually man of the year. At the same time, Alaska Men magazine made me their centerfold story. I went from famine to feast, no dates in Alaska wilderness, to 5,000 letters from women around the world. I dated many, and that is how I met my wife. It's every man's fantasy with a happy ending. Michael was also featured on the Oprah show twice. I want to tell about the Cosmo experience and the second time to be a romance coach helping a local Chicago guy get back in good graces with his wife. Michael, this is such an interesting story. How does somebody go from being on their own in the wilderness to dating so many women?
It's totally crazy. It's la vida loca. You know, that's kind of my whole life. Whenever I'm interviewed, sometimes people say, what's your strength and what's your weakness? And I use the same word. I'm an extremist. I mean, I go from famine, no dates, living in the wilderness, because up in that country, the Inside Passage to Alaska, the ratio between males and females in the wilderness is 10 men to one female. So females are few and far between. And every full moon, I would be out there on the beach of the island howling with the wolves. I was so lonely. So I go from total solitude, no dates. And then this whole crazy Cosmo thing happens where it's like the master of the universe said, young man, the lids are off all the candy jars. Help yourself for as long as you want to all the varied flavors. I mean, you know, everybody was going nuts, like my dad, all the men in my life, my friends. It's every man's fantasy, you know, to have that drop into your lap.
And how did it come about? Like, how did you end up on Cosmopolitan magazine?
Well, when I wrote my first book, and I, you know, ignorance is bliss, I didn't know how the publishing process worked, that you needed an agent, and it was very hard to get inside the castle wall of publishing. I just sent my book, you know, half of it was handwritten, and there were pine needles all over it and coffee stains on a manuscript. I mailed it to HarperCollins in New York City, which is one of the biggest, best publishers in the world. And they never look at what they call the slush pile. And that's where manuscripts come in unsolicited, because you got to play the game. And one day an editor was going to his desk to have lunch, and he saw this, you know, scruffy looking manuscript in the bottom of the pile, pulled it out, read it, loved it, decided to publish it. And then the publicist, actually a friend of mine, sent in my picture with a sled dog kissing me in Alaska. And
that's a great picture.
Oh, thank you. And I figure if a dog likes this guy, then I pass the seal of approval, you know. And then Helen Gurley Brown, who took Cosmo from a nothing magazine to, as you mentioned, the best-selling women's magazine in the world, she decided to make me one of their bachelors. And I didn't know anything about this. Mr. November, 5,000 letters around the world. So I went from famine to feast.
Brilliant story. And, you know, how did you adjust to, because normally people who love to live in the wilderness and study animals and all that, you know, they like being alone. They're usually quite introverted, right?
Very much so. And that's how I start the book. The book that I wrote about it, he doesn't even want to do this. He thinks Cosmo is silly. He wants to be taken serious as a scientist and a biologist with his first book, as you mentioned in the lead. And so there's resistance instead of trying to be a swordsman to rack up all the notches he could on his bedpost. And as you know, being a storyteller, you have to have character arc. So I start him resisting, and then at some point he gives in, and I think he enjoyed it a little bit.
And then, so you came home from Alaska, okay? And you were all over this magazine. You were getting all these letters. And then how did you wrote back to these women, obviously, right?
Quite a few. I mean, I didn't get any work done. I didn't sleep very much. It just was like, oh my God, here's today with, you know, 50 new letters and naked pictures and lingerie. And I mean, you know, it would be like, oh my God, what happened to the girl yesterday I was thinking about? But I wrote to quite a few, and I'd say I dated, I don't know, over 100 of them. And I just learned so much. In fact, Michael Larson, who was my literary agent at the time, he said, dude, Sigmund Freud once asked, what do women really want? You've got a shot at finding out. These are women from all over the world, truck drivers, CEOs of companies. Why don't you study these women like you wildlife in Alaska? Use the scientific method. Leave your emotions out of it. Well, that went out the window on the first date, you know. So that's where the title came from. And I love double meaning titles where it's wildlife, meaning the crazy life that's wild, and it's also wildlife as in the human animal.
And what did you learn from the women? What did they need? What did they want?
I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, the bottom line that if I had to sum up all the women I asked that same question to, they wanted a man to be everything at once, like turning a kaleidoscope where you see different arrangements and colors at different moments. Whereas I think most men get stuck in one MO, method of operation, and they don't shift, they don't listen. Because listening puts them in a subordinate position. And it was that kaleidoscope image, you know, of being many, many things instead of getting stuck in just the one habit. But, I mean, it was just crazy. It was everything from a prisoner in Florida. One Sunday night, the phone rang. It was a collect call. You know, before cell phones were really kicking in, I had a landline. And the operator said, will you accept the charges? And I, you know, writer's curiosity, I said, sure. And this prisoner in Florida says, Michael, I get out in a couple months and I need a boyfriend bad. And I go, what are you in for? Why are you in jail? And she said, third degree murder, you know. And so I guess she was getting out on good behavior. And she said, I must tell you, I walked to the exercise yard the other day and your Cosmo picture is on the wall of almost all the girls here in the jail. And it gets so hot here in Florida, it can almost rain inside of our jail because it's so humid. But there you are in the snow with a dog kissing your cheek, and you're like this fantasy guy to all of us girls locked up here in this jail, you know? So, I mean, that's how crazy it was. It was everything from that to a Hollywood body double. Like sometimes you'll see an actress and she's in a shower and there's a tight shot of her butt. And it might not be her butt. It might be a body double who steps into the scene for about 2 seconds for the close-up. So I dated the best butt in the business.
That's brilliant.
I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean, life just became totally crazy.
And crazy, you know. Usually, like, if you end up on a magazine or something like that, you don't always get the best type of person, right?
Exactly. And, you know, Oprah said just very much what you're hinting at. Oprah said, you know, why did you pick Paula? You had 5,000 women to choose from. What was it about your wife that, you know, jumped to the head of the line? And in between Paula's letter, there were no naked pictures. There was nothing sexual like a lot of the other male. In between the words of her letter, she was saying to me, hey, buddy, I don't really need you because I'm successful in my own right. Whereas a lot of the Cosmo and Alaska men letters were coming from small towns, and it was that fairy tale, and I hope girls are never read this anymore, Rapunzel, where the woman is helpless in the tower waiting for a man to come by and rescue her. and give her a life. I mean, tear that one up. So a lot of the mail was coming in like, you know, I'm in a small town, Kansas. Would you please come with your sled dog team and whisk me away to Fantasyland or Snowland or Frozen or whatever, you know?
It's funny how people fall for this romantic dream.
Yeah, very much so. And just because you get a seal of approval in a magazine. In fact, a beauty queen from Memphis, Tennessee called one day. And she was Miss Memphis, and she wanted to see me so bad. And my book was out at that time, my first book. So women read this book, and they knew all about me. But, of course, I didn't know the first thing about them. And I was in sugar shock because when you eat dessert around the clock, you get to a point where you crash, and you don't want to eat it anymore. And I just wanted to take a break, so I tried to scare her away. And I mean, one part of me is going, you're stupid, dude, this woman's absolutely beautiful. But I had just had my fill for a while. And I said, Kim, what if I'm a serial killer? And then in her southern accent, you know, dripping with honey, she said, then I'll die happy. I mean, you know, and part of the book, I kind of address this craziness of everybody getting 15 minutes of fame or what celebrity really means. I mean, no wonder why big-time celebrities just go nuts, because my small taste of it was overwhelming. I can't imagine what it's like where you can't even take a step out to a restaurant or lead a normal life.
Yeah, I'd say it's horrible because... I even know with Bad Boy Breakthrough, I get attention I don't want, and it's not nice.
Right.
You know, and
it cuts you off from reality that we all need to be normal and to, you know, feed us as artists. You need to be connected to the everyday world. And when that gap is missing, that's why drugs or a lot of these celebrities, especially when it comes young in their early 20s, they just go off the deep end.
Yeah, because like nature, you know, is very grounding, refreshing, and, you know, very amazing. And then, you know, getting wrapped up in some crazy world, it's short-lived. It's not fun.
Right. And that's so true what you said about nature. See, that's at the heart of my life. And that is where the grounding is. That's where the beauty is. So when the character in the book does make a choice, they return back to Alaska for the happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah. And where are you living now?
I bounce around. I spend half the year in Alaska, part of the winter in Florida, and then we lead safaris over in Africa, in Tanzania. We do walking safaris over there in the wintertime as well. And my wife is a flight attendant, and I had no idea if you marry a flight attendant, you have free tickets for life.
So it's perfect.
And when we were dating, she threw a T-shirt at me. It said, marry me, fly free.
So let's talk about your wife. So was she near the beginning, near the end? Was she, how long did these letters continue after you were in the...
Well, I'm glad that I didn't open her letter right away. I needed to appreciate her by dating a lot of women and sort of getting, you know, males are seduced by our eyes. We are very visual creatures. And I think women, yes, they're visual, but I think your ear, you know, the words and what the substance of a person matters to a woman, not just that visual that most guys can't get past. So I'm glad I kind of did the visual thing and, you know, the chichi girls with the lingerie and all the meaningless sex, and I'm glad I got that out of my system, because when her letter, when I finally got to it, it just jumped out of the pile with substance and depth and accomplishment. It was almost a resume of her successes in life rather than just, you know, come and see me and I'll blow your socks off, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
Because to me, you know, that's what I'm attracted to. And one of the astounding things that I discovered dating the Cosmo girls, and I'm very much a male animal, very much, you know, visual, but I got just as turned on talking to a girl from India who was a pre-med student. And she herself described herself as maybe a 3 on the scale of 10. But talking to her for a couple hours. It was like 2 minutes because we had mind meld. Our minds linked up, and it was almost like orgasmic, pleasurable for 2 hours in a bit of a softer, subtler way than the intensity of sex. But I walked away and I said, wow, that was amazing to be able to link up with a human being, you know, mentally, spiritually that way. But then the other part of me said, well, but could you marry her? And I said, probably not, if it's rock bottom honest, because I need, you know, the visual as well. So that's what I was looking for, was like the whole package where you could have that link up mentally, spiritually, and the physical attraction as well. And that's what happened with Paula. You know, it's kind of like Wonder Woman. She had it all three at once.
And plus, did she have a very different lifestyle to yours?
I think what connected us immediately was travel, because I started out as a travel journalist before I went to live on this island. I, you know, worked for New York Times, LA Times, going all over the world, doing pieces on wildlife and nature and things like that. So we had travel in common. And a lot of flight attendants can't find a male partner, you know, who can just jump off and go with them, because maybe they have a corporate job where they only have a week or two vacation. You know, but being, you know, a writer and a public speaker, I make my own schedule so we can just jump on airplanes and go have these crazy adventures together. So we had that as sort of the commonality at first.
Sounds like a great, exciting life, fun life.
It's just, you know, I pinch myself, you know, at how life can link up. And I really believe there's angels on earth. There's people that come into our life and they introduce us to a spouse. They put us on our life path. Because how I got to this island to begin with is I bumped into a woman amidst 1,000 people in a meadow in Colorado. We were at an international design conference in Aspen. Lunch break. Everybody go out in the meadow and watch the hang gliders come off the top of Ajax Mountain. But Lorna, why wasn't I standing 18 inches to the left or to the right that day? I bumped into the back of a French-Canadian woman who lived in Vancouver, an architect. I had never been to the west coast of the U.S. I hitchhiked from Colorado to Los Angeles, all the way to Vancouver, 2 weeks on her sailboat going north in the Inside Passage to Alaska that I didn't even know was there. And it was through Genevieve that I met the man that originally owned the island.
Oh, wow.
So I couldn't continue the relationship with Genevieve, but I call her every New Year's Eve now and thank her for giving me my life, my future, you know? But that random bump into somebody's back.
Isn't that what's amazing about traveling, though?
What's that?
Isn't that what's amazing about traveling?
Yeah, is you put yourself out there, and I really believe that our minds are magnets and we attract what we are. We attract, if the wish is pure, it's like it resonates in the universe. And when you're traveling, you're closer to the source, I think.
I really, really love that. Yeah, I traveled for 15 years. And, you know, the more you talk about traveling, the more you're like, oh,
backpack and rough it, or how did you go?
I worked with horses for years, and I would have traveled to different countries working with horses. And again, you meet the most random people, and you have the most random experience. And it led me to things I probably would have never known about. And it was amazing. And travel is just so beautiful for that.
And horses are the best people. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because, I don't know, they're very free-spirited and, yeah.
And they can read you. They can read your intentions. They can read your energy field, your, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
So, Michael, what's the takeaway you want to leave people with about, you know, your experience?
I would say, even if things come into your life, you don't want to do them, they look frivolous, pay attention. Because opportunity knocks in unorthodox ways. We might want it to be a clear-cut choice, but it could be a person that you're sort of discounting in your life as not being important. you know, or it could be, I don't want to go right, I want to go left. But sometimes, you know, making that right turn is the one to go. Hindsight's 20/20. We don't know at the time. But I think it's keeping our antenna up. But definitely what you were saying about travel is put yourself out in the flow.
Yeah.
Like jump in the river. Don't stand on the bank. Because if you just stand there with self-limiting fears, worries, you just have to go out and, you know, grab life by the tail. And I think, too, I think the biggest thing that makes us attractive is you have to follow your bliss. You have to find what you're passionate about. And when you're on fire with passion and purpose, people have no choice but to get the closed doors out of your way. Because life is energy. Charisma, attraction is energy, really. And when you're just resonating what you're here for, then that magnet does kick in. And you're attracting into your life exactly what you want.
Michael, you couldn't have said that any better. I flippin' love that, and I can completely relate to it from my own experience.
And, you know, having an Irish accent doesn't hurt either.
Especially over there in America. So, Michael, how do we find out more about you?
I'm all over the internet. I kind of have a long last name. It's hard to spell, but if you start at Amazon, just type in two words, wild life, two separate words. That's my latest book. It'll take you to my author page. And I love interacting with readers, you know, on social media, Twitter, Facebook. And, you know, it would be good to talk with everybody.
So great. So to find out more about you, type in wild life.
Yeah, Amazon.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Michael. And great to chat with you today.
Thank you, Lorna, so much.
Thank you for joining me on Bad Boy Breakthrough. Excited and feeling ready to meet the man of your dreams, but don't know where to start? Feel like you have no idea what you are doing to get it right this time? Ready to get some answers? Then hop on over to www.badboybreakthrough.com and book your complimentary Find Love Today session. And let's get you living the love and life you have always dreamt of.